September the 6th, 2023, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic, Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Waraquddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran, Surah 28, Ayat 7 to 10, Moses in a basket. Exodus 2, 3 and 7, or 3 to 7, Moses in a basket. So Moses' basket equals Jews learned from the Egyptians. So Moses was put in the river and he was put in a basket. Is that right? And floated down the river to Egypt. Moses was a baby when he was put into that basket. Is that right? So Moses didn't know nothing when he was put in that basket. Okay, so who taught Moses? It was Egypt. Egypt taught Moses. So Moses here, though Moses is a prophet, Moses in this story is allegorically, is really the Jewish people. So they are telling us that they got on the river. River means that they got into the spiritual order. They got into the religious society and it brought them to Egypt so that they would learn and get knowledge. Now the book says that Moses was put in the basket as a baby and floated down the river into Egypt land. Is that right? So what does this mean now? Who is Moses? Moses in this story has double meanings always. So scripture always has a double meaning. It's a snake with two tongues. Spoke with a snake with forked tongue. So when he speaks here and he speaks there too. All right, Moses was floating down the river in Egypt on a basket. What does this mean? Moses, in Moses, we have a picture of the whole Jacobite or Israelite society. And floating down the river means that we were not speaking in Jacob's tongue now. We were not materially strong. We were a baby. So basket represents small material growth, strength. So the basket represents the material strength. See, the basket is just a little bit of material. It's so light, you can float it on the water, right? So the baby in the basket represents the development of this of that society. That society morally and spiritually was still a baby. That society and knowledge was still a baby. So this is the history of the Jacobite people, is known now as Jews. And their society went down the river, meaning that they didn't go into Egypt as a material society or a economic society or a political order. They went into Egypt as a moral society. They went into Egypt as a morally moved society. They went there riding the water, meaning riding the strength of moral purity and moral power. They went into Egypt like that. Jews came into Egypt, started with Joseph's strong morals. Okay. Can we find anything in the Bible or in the book to shine more light on this or to back this up? Yes. The Israelites or the Jacobite people themselves, they are not the same now, but I'm using their names in the same in this. They say that their coming into Egypt started with Joseph. Is that right? So with Joseph in Scripture, both Bible and the Holy Quran, is a strong moral body. Joseph was honest. Joseph was sincere. Joseph was clean in his morals. Pharaoh's wife couldn't seduce him to go with her. He wouldn't steal from Pharaoh. He was so honest and so truthful and so upright in his morals that the Pharaoh put him over the treasures or over the storehouses. Is that right? All right. So this is how they got into Egypt, and this is how they began to grow. But as they got in there and became bigger in the social body, they became bigger in the moral makeup, they became bigger in the intellectual makeup, they became more worldly, wise, and they became bigger in material senses. As they grew in Egypt, Pharaoh began to fear their growth, so he decided to put them in chains, to put them in bondage. Now, we have the Moses story, and we don't know how to connect these things. But the Moses floated down. He is floating down while there were slaves already existing, according to the story. Is that right? But don't let this confuse you. Moses is before slavery. Moses goes there, then slavery starts. So the Jacobite people go to Egypt and slavery comes after the society fears their presence. So they made them slaves while they were yet weak. They hadn't developed strong enough to be a threat, but they saw a threat developing, so they enslaved those people. And after enslaving them, they continued to roll. Why? Because they had gotten hold of some knowledge from the Egyptians, and the Egyptians' knowledge, they added it with their knowledge from the Egyptians. And the Egyptians' knowledge, and they added it with their knowledge. So knowledge, and it made them even wiser than the Egyptians. Creation, shape of man, Jews from Jinn. What was their knowledge? Their knowledge was the knowledge of the man. They came with an idea of the world as a man. They saw the whole world in the image of a man. Right now, this concept of creation still exists. There are people in Asia and other parts of the world that still believe. In fact, themselves, often they say, they still say that the whole creation, the physical world, is the shape of a man. So they had this concept, and they believed that man and creation are really the same. The man is creation in a small model, and the big model is a whole physical world. The small model is the man. The small model is the man, and just as the forces of creation are moving in the world to create life and power, the forces in the small model are moving to create a ruler for the world, a likeness of God. So where did they get this idea from? Before themselves, that is the Hebrew people, the so-called Hebrew people. Before they were even called Hebrews, took this idea that they got from what we call the jinn. So the jinn of Asia, the jinns believe also that the whole creation was in the form of a man and that it turned as a wheel. It was turning as a wheel. So when they heard, when the head got, pardon me, got upside down, world was in bad shape. And the world had to wait until the head come back up to get in good shape. And they believe that when the head start turning upright, if the forces of intelligence and spirit worked hard, heart and soul of this creation in the man can escape and go out of the head and escape this cycle, gain freedom from this cycle. So this was their idea. Now, God has gradually raised the society to evolve the religious development. So we shouldn't thought that at that, that was a step forward. The baby has to be raised up, reared up. The man of six blind tried to identify elephant. All right, so the Hebrew brought this idea, or they came from the same society, they came with the same idea of creation in the form of a man. In the language of the jinn, they have a saying that goes like this. They say that there were six blind boys or men, six blind men, and they all tried to identify an elephant. None of them knew anything about an elephant, had ever seen an elephant, or had any knowledge of an elephant. So one of the six of them grabbed the leg of the elephant, tried to identify what he was holding. He said, "This is a great pillar. You know, a pillar that holds up a great structure." Pardon me. So a man of six, limited to own rational knowledge. Say another one grabbed and hold of the ear. And he said, "This is a thing, a big thing." So the story is designed to say, this is that man, six means the man of six. Again, the man who trusts his own intelligence and won't submit to God. So the man of six who rather than accept God independently in his own way, that man that has faith in nothing but his own rational mind and his own intelligence, is he is inclined to be submissive, subjective, pardon me, and limited in his vision. He will see something and think that he has seen the whole thing. See, so each of the six means this particular tried to identify this elephant, and all of them failed. None of them could see the whole picture, or whole elephant. The Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 14, Noah lived 950 years. Genesis 9:26, Noah lived 950 years. The environment or the materialism poisoned their souls. Genesis tells you that Adam descended, they became the industrial people, working in iron and other materials and building, and they became very industrial people, industrialist people. Industry grew and grew, and the environment that they created just like an environment that man is for us now. So it can help you. It also can set you back. So the environment that they created causes them to give all their attention to the material development. Point that materialism puts poison in their soul. And they became so determined by their own worlds that they created that kind of punishing them with a great flood. And the flood took all but a few, Noah and his children. So this is the Bible. Noah, new generation, was the order of the spiritual. And from Noah came a new development, a new trend, a new world order after Noah. So it was the order of the spiritual that followed behind the order of industry. The Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 33, Lot's wife lagged behind on unjust. Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife, pillar of salt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made man from clay, then clay means accepting to be corrected, that the nature of the clay is yield to be formed. If you don't accept to be correct, then you are like baked clay. On Surah 11, Ayah 82, punished with baked clay. So baked clay has to be broken. It can't be shaped. And IWMD wouldn't like to be punished with baked clay. Would you rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish you with your own wrongdoings, with your evils, with your sin, and force you to become disciplined that way? Or would you rather he feed you morals and spiritual understanding and bring you into conformity? Rain means feed thirst for spiritual moral guidance. Rain means that he fed your thirst for spiritual and moral guidance. Baked clay means punish because of sin makes you rigid. Baked clay means he punishes you because of your sin and made you rigid. People giving themselves to sin, the more they give themselves to sin, the more rigid they become and don't listen to nobody. Excuse me. There's a little problem here. Trying to work it out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes you with your own wrongdoings, with your evil, with your sins, and force you to become disciplined that way? Or would you rather he feed you moral and spiritual understanding and bring you into conformity? So rain means feed thirst for spiritual moral guidance. So rain means that he feeds your thirst for spiritual and moral guidance. They claim means punish because of sin makes you rigid. Baked clay means that he punishes you because of your sin and made you rigid. People giving themselves to sin, the more they give themselves to sin, the more rigid they become. They don't listen to nobody. And this disobedience soon after, their form is fixed like that. And they can't be changed. Would you want to be punished with that, or would you like to have morals and spiritual influences or instructions that give life and growth? The Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 33, Lot's wife lagged behind unjust. Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife, pillar of salt. But his Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Sin has a way of, it says, Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she disobeyed the instructions, was that she not look back in Sodom and Gomorrah. For disobeying, she kept dwelling on sin that had been permitted, and she became herself embittered, like salt is bitter, and she became herself rigid as in her own self-righteousness, rigid and stiff like a pillar of salt, because it was reflecting on sin of Sodom and Gomorrah and wasn't reflecting on God's deliverance. If she had been, would have made her lively and human. But thinking only on the evil of the past, she became embittered and rigid in her self-righteousness. Those who become like baked clay, their sinning burns them, and the more it burns them out of spirituality, morality, they become rigid like a burnt clay. So who wants to dwell on sin all the time? Stop dwelling on sin. Dwell on the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Baked clay fell on those who dwelled in sin, on sin, and on the sinners fall on both. Don't think of the clay running down on you. Think of you being the baked clay yourself. Instead of teaching of religion, the revelation, instead of it making you the human you should be because of the wrong disposition of your mind, pardon me. The same teaching that made other humans lively make you a rigid stone, dead to human senses and sentiments. They read Quran sometimes more than we do. They all the time reading it and revelation coming to them, but instead of making them morally and spiritually human, it makes them salty, bitter, self-righteous, and makes others like clay hard, rigid. They won't listen to anybody. You got to say nothing. You say it right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us clear, clay. But he wants us the kind of clay for him. When he wants us to yield its correction, and when he wants us to become rigid against disobeying him. So there are times when we should be rigid clay, pottery clay, against influences from outside. But we have to be with, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us soft clay. Before God, we are soft clay, but before the world that asks us to come away from God's guidance, we are rigid. We'd rather be destroyed than to yield. So the Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 33, Lot's wife lagged behind. Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife become a pillar of salt. Luke 14:34, salt lost its savor, what good is it? Depths of the water is the knowledge. Salt water is deep knowledge of human nature. Salt out of the water becomes rigid or stone. Sensitivity, people didn't want, so when they are talking about the Old Testament, water of the human world had come into bitter for the masses of the people, their sensitivity were distasteful, did not have any appeal. The water that the people did not want was the salt water, the water of the ocean. So what is salt water? Salt water comes from the ocean, and it has depths. It is very deep. So what does this represent? It represents knowledge, education, and science of the human nature had become a dead, dull thing for the people. It didn't have savor. So if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it than to accept to be thrown out into the earth? But it worked good for a long time. Law let people see, understand, and practically exercise it on themselves. Sweet water let the people exercise law themselves. So we know that the salt water, if you pour it on the garden, it is not good. It needs lake water, rain water, sweet water to put on the growing thing. Not with the salt in it. So the mistake that those Old Testament people made was this. They took salt to mean the knowledge. Salt is not the knowledge. The depths of the water is the knowledge. But salt represents something else. The New Testament is not saying throughout the knowledge, it is saying throughout the reality. Salt, if you leave it out of the water, it becomes rigid. It will become a stone. Throw out the bitterness. Salt is bitterly taken in too large of a quantity. Throw out the emphasis on rituality. Emphasis on blind obedience to laws. Let the people see the law and understand the law and be able to practically exercise the law on themselves without people imposing it upon them. Without their knowledge, then you will take the salt solid and it will be sweet water. They understood it. Salt was not something that just became a pillar, that just became a problem in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Why was she turned into a pillar of salt? This will help us understand what salt means in the scripture. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Because she looked at the destruction of the Sodom and Gomorrah and the order came cautioning the people, warning them, whatever you do, do not look back. It said God was going to lead them out of the fire. But it said warning, saying, let no one look back. Because Sodom was a terrible place, and it had done terrible things. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj speaks, Blog Talk Radio. So it had become a perverse, very much like some of the streets of San Francisco. Depths of the water is the knowledge. Salt water is deep knowledge of human nature. Salt out of the water becomes rigid as stone. Sensitivity, people didn't want was the salt water. Man, what are they talking about? The Old Testament. The water of the human world had become so too bitter. For the masses of the people, their sensitivities were distasteful, did not have any appeal. The water that the people did not want was the salt water. So the water of the ocean, what is salty water? Salty water comes from the ocean, and it has depths. It is very deep. So what does this represent? It represents knowledge, education, and science of the human nature. Had a become dead, dull thing for the people. It didn't have savor. And if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it than to accept to be thrown out into the earth? But it worked for a good long time. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj speaks Blog Talk Radio. Law let the people see and understand practically exercising it on themselves. So sweet water let the people sweet water lets the people exercise law themselves. So we know the salt water, if you pour it on the garden, it is not good. You need lake water, rain water, sweet water to put on the growing thing, not with the salt in it. The mistake that those Old Testament people made was this, that they took salt to mean the wisdom of the knowledge family. Salt is not the knowledge. Salt is not the knowledge. Salt is not the knowledge. The depth of the water is the knowledge. But the salt represents something else. The New Testament is not saying throw out the knowledge. It is saying throw out the rigidity. Salt, if you leave it out of the water, it becomes rigid. It will become a stone. Throw out the bitterness. Salt is bitterly taken in too large of a quantity. Throw out the emphasis on rigidity. This emphasis on blind obedience to law. Let the people see the law and understand the law and be able to practically exercise laws on themselves without people imposing upon them. Without their knowledge, then you will take the salt solid and it will be sweet water. They understood it. Salt was not something that just became a problem in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Why was she turned into a pillar of salt? This will help to understand what salt means in Scripture. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the order came, cautioning the people, warning them, whatever you do, do not look back. It said God was going to lead them into the fire. But it said, warning, can anyone come saying, it says warning, came saying, let no one look back, because Sodom was a terrible place. It had done terrible things. It had become a perverse, very much like some of the streets of San Francisco. Very much like some of the streets of San Francisco. It was terrible. And God and the fire down on it. So the punishment of those people who so terribly to behold. Lot's wife looked back, meaning I sympathize or I like the punishment. And Lot's wife was a woman who was in charge of the discipline of the children, and she looked back. So looking back, what does it say? Either my heart is a little bit with those people who are being punished, or I like the punishment that they are getting. Why would I want to see? Why would I want to look back? Either I want to look back because my heart is with them back, but look, the impulse to look back indicates more cruelty in me. It indicates that there might be a possible streak of cruelty in me. Then sympathy, because most of the people did not want to look at like suffering. So what would Lot's wife want to look back? He wants to look back because she loved what was happening. He was happy over what was happening. He wanted to look at those people being destroyed. So the Bible says he became a pillar of salt. So when you say someone is salty, it means that they are not friendly, and that time they are hard to get along with. They are bitter. They have turned into a pillar of salt, meaning the whole self becomes rigid and bitter. Darkness, like waves, can't see hand. One second. So darkness upon the face of the deep. Salt means sternness. Ships have a stern. Now, let's go back to the ocean and see if we can understand what salt means in the ocean. In that ocean, it means sternness. The ship has gotten out in the ocean. It has what? A stern. It means sternness. In the lake, in the pond, they look beautiful. They look happy. But those creatures in the deep ocean look stern. So that is what it is referring to. They use salt, and actually, they are not talking about the depths of the water. We want depths of the knowledge, but what does the Quran say about the depths of the water? It says it is darkness layer upon layer. So no man knows it. He has no vision under its gravity. So man has vision when the soul becomes structured by knowledge. That means that no matter how deep you go down, it's darkness. So down here in the water of sensitivity, or the soul that is darkness, that is the way God said, let there be light. No man knows his soul. No man has vision while he is under the gravity of his soul. Man has vision when the soul becomes structured by knowledge. So when his sensitivities are structured under the influence, knowledge, then he has vision. Then he has light. Salt does not respond to touch. Water does. Platable light. Clay. So we don't want to get too stern. If we get too stern, we have no sensitivity, and the little children will suffer. Their mothers has been become a pillar of salt, stern, insensitive. Salt doesn't shake, water shakes. Water responds to touch. Salt does not respond to touch. And it is not like clay. Clay is material that you can mold. You can work with it. It is platable. But salt, you put water with it, and it tries to put it in together to dissolve itself. The only thing you can do is put it in a container, leave it there, and let it harden, and it becomes a rock. So Mary represents sweet water. Adam represents the first generation. Jesus represents the second generation. Imam Sam is too stern, like pillars of salt, too rigid. Mary, why did she connect this? Because Mary represents sweet water, not salt water, and the need for a new woman to bring forth a new generation. Adam represented the first generation in the Christian terminology. Jesus Christ represented the second generation of the second Adam. So the necessity was because there was too much rigidity, too much insensitivity in the religious world. So a message came that appealed to the state of the people, savor without the salt, like sweet water. So when you get too much salt, what do you want? You want water without salt. So they had given the world too much salt, too much sternness, like some of these imams who come here. and they want us to follow them, looking like pillars of salt. No human life in them at all. All of them walking around, looking otherworldly, and they think we're going to follow them. Ship them out on the first rocket going into the Netherlands. Just keep floating out there. We don't want them. We are not going to accept them. And they will never be successful amongst us. I can go to sleep and sleep for 100 years and give them freedom to lead this community. And when I wake up, I will find it all gone. And I will have to put it back together again. Back together. They will be sitting in the corner somewhere with two nuts or two cubes of salt. I'm not bragging. I'm trying to save your life. Soul, property, water, property, minimum, when one. So faith becomes faith because we learn to trust something. Faith is a property of the soul. Soul is a seed or the core of the sensitive nature. Let's now look at the properties of the water or the properties of the soul. Our sensitivity, our soul, are stirred by fear. Love, faith, as a result of something resulting from what? From trust. I have learned to trust something, so I have become faithful. I have faith because I have seen that I can trust this from this mother, daddy, brother, cousin, uncle, grandpa, or policeman, or the friend down the street. Whatever we have faith in, it is because in having a relationship with the person for things we have found, we can trust it. Seed, order, and develop, succeeded, sensitivity, water to land, soul, life, movement. So the fear, love, faith, and devotion. Faith is a property of the soul. So we find later in Scripture, faith is the same in the material concept, seed. So here we have sensitive nature of the human being, and that seed or the core of that sensitive nature is called what? Soul. Now, we have the soul coming into the land. It has come into, it has come out of the sensitive life, of our life, out of sensitive. It has become like the material. So what does that mean? It has no disturbance in it. It has trusted so much. It has so much trust, and it has become rested. But there is an orderliness. The seed has a pattern of orderliness. The development, so the order and the development now has taken over and has succeeded sensitivity. Isn't this the necessary requirement for real scientific progress? When our sensitivity becomes obedient to order and developmental processes, that is when we become scientific in our thinking. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayah 23, Allah made from man, Allah made the day for activity. The Quran, Surah 38, Ayah 72, when I have breathed into him of my spirit. Genesis 1, 2, darkness upon the face of the deep. Education is from the sensitivity of the soul. arrows to one God's purpose, the other is Muhammad's will. Scripture says that the Spirit moved along the surface of the water, and God said, let there be light. So God is saying that if you will only become sensitive to my call and purpose, my Spirit will move with your sensitivity. So the Quran says it was shot as two arrows from the one boat going to the top. The will of God in the Spirit in Muhammad prayers in the peace be upon him. When as the two arrows fired by the same and bow, it means that the nature, natural powers and potential that God gave man is creating him, and that bow has now become very tense. It strains to reach God's purpose. It fires, and when it fires at the thing it is aiming at, it sends two. One is God's purpose and God's will, and the other is Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon him will, and his obedience to God, to God's purpose. So they go parallel at the same speed to the same target. And the Spirit that moves along on the face of the water, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. That he placed a small lamp in the sky. So this is speaking to the evolution of light, knowledge. He placed something up there to reflect the light of the sun. So the sun has not been placed up there yet. But he put something in the heavens of the leadership to reflect the light before he even was done. It was already there, ready to receive. So the moon was put up there. It doesn't say the moon was shining. It did not say the moon was put up and it was a beautiful, shining, illuminating object. No. It was just put up there. It says, and then he caused the sun to be put there. It came up in the heavens. And now he said, let there be light. But look how the light evolves. Light evolves from the sensitivity and the soul of the spirituality. So this is what welcomes God's light, God's love, what he saw happening in the water. So he blessed it with the guidance or with his inspiration, and in the water came light. So science says that the moon is black. Look in your paper if you want some evidence of what I'm saying. It is black. It hasn't shown any light yet. Didn't that make you know now that you who are sane, rational, and sensible, and morally responsive, doesn't that make you know now that God has taken a little Negro from Elijah Muhammad and lifted him up to the highest place in understanding of his truth? I said that the condition had to be brought about for the spirituality before the sun knowledge can rise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he has made the day for activity. So as long as we just having spiritual life without guidance, a material reality for material worlds, we have no activity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us how we evolve. As creation, he is saying to us that the benefits of my material world will only come to you in small, in faint, small amounts. But if you are ever turned on to my guidance to evolve as I designed for you to evolve, you will come into the big material accomplishment. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayah 28, God are your people. under you shared money equal. The Quran light revealed in the night divine nature. The Quran Surah 30, Ayat 30, religion of nature. So the Quran is light, but it was revealed in the night. So it was revealed in the darkness. It was brought in the darkness. It came by way of darkness. So what kind of darkness? Not the darkness of ignorance, but the darkness of divine nature that God put in the creation. And the Quran came following the natural way of God. So it didn't come through man's learning. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he didn't get the Quran through the man's knowledge, through the human knowledge. He got the Quran through divine inspiration. And by divine inspiration, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, was made to see that this light is supported by creation and the law of creation. So there's the darkness of the creation and the darkness of natural law. So the darkness of natural law, even in man's bad witness, supports the light of the Quran. It is the deen al-fitra. So the deen, religion of nature, the nature in which we completed all things, the very pattern on which He made the creation and the human being. Mother sacrificed her child. The Quran, Surah 31, Ayat 14, mother bear child in pain. So the mother, if she can sacrifice, if she can be a martyr, not to kill herself, not to kill her blood, if she can sacrifice herself, be a martyr to live selfishly, die to this world, die to the temptation of this world. This world, saying, pardon. The mother, if she can sacrifice, if she can be a martyr, not to kill herself, not to kill her blood, she can sacrifice herself. Be a martyr to live selfless life, die to this world, die to the temptations of this world. Pardon me. We're almost finished. So the mother, if she sacrificed, if she can be a martyr, not to kill herself, not to kill her blood, if she can sacrifice herself to a, to a martyr, to live selfish, die to this world, die to the temptation of this world. This world is saying to the mother, you need some pleasures. These babies here, unattended, leave them with that no-count woman or with those youngsters over there. Yes. Yes, sister. Yes, sister, you're going to be tested. We're going to close. We'll be back tomorrow. Inshallah. Take care of this problem that I'm having here. And we thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj, for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you Our honorable listening audience, may God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.